Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. Today, we are going to talk about a hard subject. We are going to talk about masturbation. And many of you guys listening maybe have never heard about that on YouTube. You've never heard a Christian talk about it. Maybe you've never heard a sermon on it. But it's so important for us to talk about because it has such big implications for our lives, for our sexuality, for our kids, for our witness, for our marriages. And so we need to talk about it. And so I want to start out with just a couple of observations that I make, a couple of realities. One is that the world thinks that masturbation is great. They have no inhibitions with it. The world doesn't see things like we do as Christians. They don't have a biblical understanding of morality and sexuality, and we see that everywhere. And so masturbation is one of those areas. I'm in a lot of online dad groups, and I see it everywhere. You know, the topic's joked about a lot. But also, seriously, you know, guys in the dad groups will, you know, say that they're not getting enough from their wife physically. And so it's like, well, just masturbate every day. And a lot of guys make it part of their daily routine. And I also want to be clear that this also affects women too. So these same principles apply to women. I'm just speaking of it more from a man's perspective because I'm a man and I deal with men and I disciple men. And so the world has no inhibitions with it. Another observation I've always experienced and seen is that as Christians, we deal with this topic with so much just shame and guilt, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy with the way that we keep these secrets and the shame surrounded by it. I remember the first time I masturbated was when I was about 13. The first time I looked at pornography, and it kind of happened by accident, and it felt so good, yet I knew that there's something so wrong and dirty about this, and I was so confused by it, and I didn't know what to do with that, and I had no one to talk to. And so my heart is that we can bring some of these difficult issues into the light, and that we can talk about them, that we can deal with them, that we can be discipled, that we can disciple others, that we can have a sexuality that honors the Lord. With that said, I just want to open us in prayer. I don't think I've ever done that on the podcast, but I feel like this is a heavy, difficult topic, so I feel like I should pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. I thank you for everyone who's listening today. Lord, I have no idea what they're feeling or thinking about right now, knowing that this is what we're talking about, but I pray that your grace would be abounding. I pray that you would convict people where they need conviction. I pray that you would let them rest in your grace. I pray that there'd be humility, that we could lay down our egos, that we could soften our hard hearts and be open to just the grace that you have for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you would be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like. So my journey in this area, like I said, started with a lot of confusion and shame and guilt. And that's what I see in the Christian community. And it seems like the only times we talk about it as Christian men is joking. You know, we make lots of jokes. We make lots of puns. I remember the first time I heard it talked about by Christians. I was a brand new Christian in college. I went to the yearly men's retreat. That was like a whole new environment to me. And the subject came up, and I'll never forget one of the guys made the joke. He said, yeah, 99% of guys masturbate, another 1% don't have arms. And everyone kind of laughed and thought that was so funny because it was just clear, okay, everyone does it, and if you don't, it's because you don't have arms. And so I sat there, though, really confused because I was a new Christian. I was trying to deal with my sexuality. I didn't know, is this wrong? Is this not wrong? Should I feel bad about doing this? I can't imagine not doing it. And so we need to talk about it in a way that's not joking. We need to have serious conversations about everything that affects our lives and everything going on in our hearts, so we can receive discipleship and so that we can disciple others. But is it wrong for a Christian to masturbate? I think that this is a pretty controversial question in the world of Christianity. I read a quote from Tim LaHaye recently, and he said that that question is probably the most controversial question in the field of sex. And I think, you know, in the world, it's not really controversial. You know, there's other probably more controversial things with transgenderism, same-sex marriage. In the Christian world, I think, yes, it probably is. And what Tim had to say about it is that it's controversial because we look to the Bible and we don't see a single verse that directly deals with it. And so I think that's a reasonable point. And so it's easy to try to make a case for it, saying that it's okay because, well, the Bible doesn't directly talk about it. But I think that it goes deeper than that. I think that part of why it's so controversial is because so many men are caught up in it. And we have Christian men and pastors and leaders and guys serving in the church that are mastered by it and can't give it up. And so obviously they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the implications of it because their heart has been hardened and they don't want to give it up. And they feel shame and guilt. And I think that's why we don't want to talk about it at times. And so we have some arguments against it. If you just Google what are Christian arguments against masturbation, or if you actually have a conversation with someone, one of the arguments against it is it falls outside the boundaries of God's design for sex and heterosexual marriage, which I agree with, and we'll be talking about that later. So many Christians will say, well, then we have to show that in the Bible. And we can't say that something's wrong unless the Bible clearly says that it's wrong. And sometimes they'll go to Genesis 38. There's a story of Onan. And if you know this story, it's kind of weird, like a lot of, you know, biblical stories are, especially the Old Testament. He was supposed to marry his brother's wife because his brother had died. And he was supposed to help her bear children. And so he had sex with her, but it says he spilled his seed on the ground so that he wouldn't impregnate her. And God killed him for doing that. And a lot of people have taken that passage and said it's talking about masturbation because he spilled his seed on the ground. And so that obviously condemns masturbation. And I absolutely do not believe that that's the case, which this act that he was doing was not masturbation. It was with another woman. He just didn't, you know, quite complete the task at hand. And he was disobedient to God. He purposely did something to keep himself from conceiving a child, which is what God had commanded him to do. So the story of Onan is about his disobedience. I don't believe it has anything to do with masturbation. And so So then we look at the scriptures like, wow, there's not any scriptures that directly talk about it. There's still a lot of people who are against it because it falls outside of God's boundaries. And so that's one side of it is, you know, one side of the debate is where we're completely against it. It's dirty. It's gross. They maybe tie a lot of guilt and shame to it. But they don't really talk about it. It's just kind of the untalked about rule. And I think a lot of kids grow up with that in their families, as they don't talk about it, but we know that that's gross and it's so gross that we can't even talk about it. And that leads to a lot of shame and guilt. And so that's one of the main arguments against it. There are some Christians that think it's permissible. They think that, well, one of the arguments I've heard is, well, maybe it keeps me from doing something worse. And so it's like, well, if I masturbate, then maybe I'm not going out and looking for a sexual hookup. And I understand that. I've been there many times, and masturbation kind of relieves the tension, and you're filled with lust, and it kind of ends all that and gets it out of your system, so I can, a person can move on with their day and not give in to further temptation. But I don't think that that's the right argument. I don't think that's a good argument, because it's like, we don't solve a more serious sin by committing a less serious sin. It's all sin, and we need to take it all seriously. And so I don't think that that is a reasonable argument for making it permissible. I think at best, the best I could find from Christian teachers, from Christian personalities, from people that I've discipled, I've talked to, from mentors, is that maybe it's neutral. Maybe it's morally neutral. There's nothing positive about it, but maybe it's not wrong. Maybe it's not negative. And so I couldn't find anyone who made a case for it being positive. I found plenty of cases for it being negative, some of them wrong, I believe some of them right. But I want to go through then several different reasons why I believe that Christians should never masturbate. So four reasons why Christians should never masturbate. So number one is that I think that we cannot separate it from sexual immorality. We can't separate that act from other acts of sexual immorality, which is acting outside of God's design for sex between a man and a woman in a marriage. That's the only place God gives us for sexual expression. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we are to possess our bodies on sanctification and honor. And so I think it's a very hard case to make that there's any honor in that type of self-gratification. That doesn't mean that God is a killjoy that doesn't want us to have enjoyment. He gives us many blessings for enjoyment, but we know that we can abuse the things that God blesses us with, and we can use them in the wrong places. And masturbation is using an enjoyment from God, a blessing from God, in the wrong place. 1 Corinthians 6 18 through 20 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. And as we look at that, that doesn't specifically address masturbation, but there's principles here. And, you know, we've talked about that. A lot of people think that it has to be okay because it's not specifically addressed in the Bible, or at least it must be neutral. But I think there's a lot of moral issues that aren't directly addressed in the Bible. One of those, abortion. Like, there's not a specific verse that says, do not abort babies, yet we are so passionate as Christians about being pro-life and protecting every single human life, born or unborn, because we can look at all of Scripture and understand the value of life. We can look at all of Scripture and understand that when we see that God, knit an unborn person in the womb, that he conceived this person, he made them, that we should protect it, that we should value them. So we build a whole pro-life theology, and we're passionate about those issues because of the entirety of Scripture. And so I think we can do that with masturbation. We can look at the entirety of Scripture, see what God says about the purpose of marriage, the purpose of sexuality between a man and a woman, and come to some biblical conclusions, even though it doesn't specifically mention masturbation. The second reason why Christians should masturbate is because it is impossible, in my opinion, to separate masturbation from lust. I don't know any guys who can actually separate these two issues and masturbate while not thinking lustful thoughts. And many times it involves pornography. And so there's a lot of times where masturbation doesn't involve pornography, but I think that usually pornography almost always involves masturbation. That's usually why a guy is looking at pornography, to help him masturbate. And so definitely we know that pornography is wrong. We've talked about that many times on this podcast, and it's lustful, and it's objectifying God's creation. And so when pornography goes hand in hand with masturbation, then those two things are linked together. But even if masturbation doesn't involve pornography, it does involve lust. It does involve these mental images that you are taking something for yourself, and you are committing a sexual indiscretion in your head. You're lusting in your head. You're committing indecencies in your head. You are developing a habit and patterns in your mind of where that's where you get your pleasure, is lusting on things that God says that you can't have, that you're not entitled to. And I know that there's been a few people at times, and I've heard this argument a couple times, like, well, masturbation is just a purely physical thing, and I'm not actually lusting in my mind. And they say, no, I'm just masturbating. I'm just looking at a tree outside. It's like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. I don't know if I believe those people. Obviously, I don't know their hearts, but I think that all these principles still apply, is that we are using a sexual activity outside of God's boundaries of what it was created for. Reason number three is that it becomes a pattern and addictive. We start to rely on it. It becomes a pattern as we give our minds over to lust, because I don't believe that we can separate it from lust. And it becomes addictive. When we have an orgasm, the brain releases all these endorphins that make us feel really, really good, just like we were taking drugs or all kinds of other things that release endorphins. And that becomes an addictive pattern. And I've seen so many guys never overcome the addiction of masturbation. And so we need to talk about it in our discipleship, because we shouldn't be mastered by anything. We shouldn't have anything in our life that controls us that we can't say no to. And I see guys start to rely on masturbation. It becomes kind of part of their daily routine, where tension builds up in their life and their heart, and it's a way of relieving the tension. No, we need Jesus. We need to rest in God's grace. We need to be sanctified. We need to live lives that pursue holiness, so that Jesus is dealing with the tension inside our hearts, not something like masturbation. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids, because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. Lastly, and I think probably the most importantly, is that masturbation makes it all about you. It makes a sexuality that's just about you, and that's not what God designed sexuality for. And, you know, what I've seen over and over again is that the temptation to masturbate doesn't go away once someone is married. And once someone is married, all of your sexual attention should be on your spouse. That's what God designed sexuality for, that it should be on your spouse. And so sexuality in marriage should be pursuing your spouse, loving yourself. Excuse me. That would be masturbation. It should be loving your spouse more than you love yourself. And so we pursue them, and we give all of our sexual energy to pursuing them. And the fruit of that, which is pleasure, is the fruit of pursuing our spouse and having intimacy. And so we can't have a sexuality that becomes about us. And we need to, even if we're single, we need to develop that while we're single, because it would just be wrong, and it is wrong when we say, well, I might be married someday, but in the meantime, I'm going to develop a sexuality that's disconnected from my future spouse. That is not doing our future spouse a favor. It's not building a life that's going to have a healthy marriage. And I see many, one of the common questions that I have is, well, married people don't understand because obviously they have sexual fulfillment. And so a single people like we need sexual fulfillment somewhere. It's like, no, you don't. You don't need sexual fulfillment somewhere. That's not something that you absolutely have to have at that stage in your life. So you become a master over it. You surrender to God's grace. You surrender to His standards. And like I said, if you masturbate when you're single and develop that habit, it's not going to get any easier once you're married because you have developed so many bad habits and twisted expectations through those through the habit of masturbation that your wife probably is not going to please you and you're not going to be willing to put in the effort to develop intimacy with your wife because you're used to it being about you. And instead, you'll try to use your wife. You'll use your wife. And I've had to tell many guys that their sex with their wife has become nothing more but them using their wife's body to masturbate. Because for them, sex is nothing more than me getting off. It's the same heart about as they had with masturbation. It's just me getting off, but now I get to use my wife's body to do it. And that is not intimacy. That is not loving your wife. That is not building a healthy marriage. And also, anyone who's married will tell you that sometimes there's periods, sometimes your wife has a baby, sometimes there's physical problems, sometimes there's physical separation for whatever reason, travel, deployment, lots of things. Sometimes you have young babies and you're exhausted. And if I'm looking to my wife to say like, well, you do this for me, otherwise I'm going to be disobedient over here. It's like, man, like that's not the picture that God has for us of marriage. And so when we go through those periods in marriage where sex doesn't happen for whatever reason, whether it's good or bad, reasonable or unreasonable, I need to be at a point where I've trained my body, where I've trained my mind to be disciplined and to focus on the things of the Lord and to have control so that I don't take matters into my own hands, no pun intended. And we need to train ourselves for that when we're single. And I know way too many, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old men who still masturbate in the shower every morning because they've never been able to take control over their bodies. They've never developed the discipline. And some of that has come from lack of discipleship in this area. It's come from the guilt and the shame that they felt that has kept it in the dark. And shame and guilt never transform our heart. We need grace. And we experience grace by talking to other people about it. Another common question I get sometimes is that should married people masturbate together? Is that okay? And, you know, I think that I'm not going to say that's wrong. I think that it's okay. I think that with every sexual expression within marriage, we have to understand what is my heart and how are we building intimacy with this. And I think that if a married couple is doing it together, then they're using it to build intimacy and it's the result of intimacy and they're hopefully using it to love and serve one another. So that is not wrong. But as with anything, we have to check our hearts. How should we talk to our kids? You know, I shared earlier that when I was a child, I had no one to talk to. And so it consumed with guilt, shame, and confusion. And so this should be part of our discipleship with our kids. And we shouldn't condemn them because I think that, gosh, I don't think it's realistic that that a boy is never going to masturbate. Like, no, I don't think that's realistic. Even though I'm making the case that we never should, I don't think that that's practical. So we should be walking alongside our sons, and we should be ministering to their hearts, and we should help them not have to live out these things in secrecy and shame and guilt. And as they're processing through, what is this doing for me in my life? What does this look like? Who am I becoming as a man? We should be walking along beside them and helping them become a man of God whose heart is transformed by the gospel. And that should be reflected in their sexual habits, their convictions, the grace that they experience. And so we need to walk alongside them with grace. I think that for the rest of us in the church, in the body of Christ, we need to deal with the shame and the guilt that we have perpetuated with this issue. And we need to understand that sanctification doesn't happen overnight. We don't just shame people into stopping doing something. We disciple them and we apply the gospel to their heart. We help them understand what is your heart seeking and how do we replace that with gospel truth. We have accountability. We have, any one of these things misplaced can be wrong. We have accountability groups sometimes that are completely wrong in how they do it, but we still need accountability, and we need disciplers, and we need people that we're discipling, and we need to take away the stigma of talking about these issues, because we can't disciple someone unless we're willing to talk about it, and we can't be discipled unless we are willing to talk about it in our own lives and be honest about it. And so the goal here isn't to add to scripture. It isn't to make more rules, but we need to soften our hearts and be open to the vision that God has for us. And so the goal here isn't legalism. The goal here is freedom, because we experience freedom from Jesus. The goal is freedom so we can love well, that we are not missing out on the opportunities God gives us to love people well. I love what Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1. He says, the aim of our charge is to love with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And masturbation is contrary to all of that. I don't think that we can say that masturbation helps us to love with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In fact, it does the opposite of that. And so the goal is to grow in sanctification, to experience God's grace so deeply that it causes us to grow in holiness. And it's God's grace that gives us this boundaries so we don't wallow in shame and guilt and secrecy. Instead, we bring darkness to the light. We talk about it. We experience grace. We fight for righteousness, and we fight to be the type of person that God intends us to be. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. I know that this is a hard issue, and I pray that it is received with grace and understanding and soft hearts. If I can do anything for you guys, please let me know. Obviously, I talk about these issues every day, so I'm never ashamed to talk about it. You can ask me anything. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and like our post on Facebook. If this is where you're seeing this, share with your friends, because the world needs to be talking about this. And maybe pray about where can you take some steps in sanctification in this area of your life, or help other people take some steps in sanctification in this area of their life. So thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.